Ball State President Jeff Mearns joins us this morning to update you on the progress of the university's management of the Muncie Community Schools. That management began on July 1st of last year. President Mearns, welcome.
Well, good morning, Stan. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you here. Well, let's go back 1 year to a quote of yours that appeared in the publication Inside Higher Ed, where you said, "We're not trying to establish either a statewide model or a nationwide model concerning the management of the schools. We're attempting to address a significant, profound challenge in Muncie and bring together the experience and expertise of our campus," and that you maintain that Ball State is not taking a legal or financial risk. It's taking a reputational risk, though. And so where are we today, almost a year later?
I think we're in the shape where we have been able to stabilize the situation in the Muncie Community Schools with the appointment of an outstanding school board. And they're working very hard to stabilize the enrollment, to strengthen the finances, and then, as we can talk about a little bit more, to develop an academic innovation plan for the future of our community schools.
So right now it's getting the financial footing and seeing that administrative channels are working.
That's correct. And building the team that will help to develop that plan and then implement that plan.
Well, does MCS have the number of teachers, teacher aides, and other staff and personnel to do the top quality teaching and support of the students of Muncie that you would like to see?
Well, I think that question is not one that we can answer at this point. I think the school board was pleased that enrollment turned out this year to be stronger than people had anticipated. As you may recall, the state, the DUAB board, had anticipated that enrollment would drop by another 450 students this year. The previous school administration had anticipated that the drop would be about 250 students. The enrollment only declined about 45 or 50 students. As a result of that, there were some additional resources that the school board and the school administration had. And because enrollment was higher than anticipated in the elementary schools, very soon after school began in August, they actually hired 8 new elementary school teachers. So we're beginning to identify the resources necessary to shore up the strength and quantity of the teachers and the staff in the schools. But I think the question will be answered after the academic innovation plan is developed in the next 6 to 12 months.
Why do you think the enrollment drop-off slowed drastically compared to the projections?
Well, we believe that two things happened. I think primarily fewer parents than anticipated removed their children from the schools. We believe that was a reflection of the confidence that the community has in the new school board and the support that the university and the community is providing to the community schools. We also believe that some parents chose to bring their students back. As you may recall, this time last year, there were about 1,600 children who reside within the Muncie Community School District, but whose parents and families choose to take them to another school in the immediate area. And we're hoping that over time, as we restore confidence in the administration of the public schools, that more and more of those parents and families will bring their children home.
Students enrolled is one figure to look at. Buildings would be another. What about the status now of the occupancy rates in the school system's facilities?
Well, without having a specific answer to your question, I think the general answer is that the school system is presently overbuilt, that given the current enrollment and the anticipated enrollment in the near or mid-future, that there are more buildings that are necessary. But I think, again, the school board hasn't decided where to reduce those facilities, those spaces, until they get a handle on what future enrollment will be and until they develop that academic innovation plan, because that may change the structure of some of the schools.
You mentioned the academic plan. What are some components of that before we return to some other structural questions here, not just about buildings, but the overall operation of the system? What does that plan right now look like?
Well, the plan is being developed. One of the encouraging signs for me that came out of the legislation was that the statute, House Bill 1315, gave the university, and most importantly, the new school board and the administration and the teachers and the staff, 2 years to develop the plan. And the plan includes the long-term financial viability plan, as well as the academic innovation plan. The reason that two-year time period was so important to me is because we understood this plan could not be simply developed in isolation by Ball State University or by our teachers' college or even by the new school board, that for this plan to be effective, we needed to engage in a consultative process, to engage the teachers in the process, to engage the families in the process, to engage students and community leaders. So that academic innovation planning process is now just beginning, and it will continue through this calendar year.
So you're getting feedback from students, parents, teachers in the classroom, and others as to what is needed, and then expertise from the university is filtering into this process?
So where the school board is at this point in the process is doing the various assessments of the current state, everything from teacher support, from student performance, from technology and facilities. So they're first getting a sense of where are we now? Then through the course of the summer, they will engage others in generating ideas, both from our experts at Teachers College, from the expertise that exists within the teachers and staff at the Muncie Community Schools. And we're also in the process of developing a national expert advisory panel. And we're in the process of assembling those national experts who will bring their ideas, their creative, innovative ideas to Muncie. And we're going to have a academic innovation summit in September.
Now, you yourself as president of Ball State University don't manage, if you will, or coach the school system. That's the school board's job and the job of the staff, correct?
That's correct. Our responsibility under the legislation was to really do two things. One was to appoint the school board, which in turn is responsible with the administration for the management of the schools. So I don't manage the Muncie Community Schools. We've discharged our responsibility in terms of appointing a school board.
Okay.
The second thing that we do is provide, I think, extraordinary and distinctive support through our teachers' college and through other colleges and resources that we have on our campus. And then I guess the third thing I would add to that is we're serving as a role of mobilizing community support for the Muncie Community Schools, the support that has existed, and we want to expand that support.
What does that support look like?
Well, first of all, I think what it looked like was the extraordinary outpouring of interest in serving on the school board. As you may recall, we had more than 90 applicants for the five spots that our Board of Trustees was directly responsible for appointing. The second thing, as you may recall, within a very short period last May, we generated more than $3.1 million of local philanthropy to support the Muncie Community Schools. And then we formed a community engagement council. These are leaders and family members from all across the community that are serving as advocates, helping us to raise additional resources and planning various events. There was a teacher and staff appreciation event in January. Where they did a wonderful job of expressing our appreciation to the teachers. And there was an outpouring of support, of contributions and gifts from various businesses and individuals that we gave to the teachers and staff back at that event in January.
To what will that $3.1 million go? You mentioned something about teachers and the like. Will it be for pay, repairs on facilities, for instance? Well, I always get a question about, well, what's happening with the field house? And there's so many things that the community is concerned about, so many things with the school system.
Right. So it's that support is providing the opportunity for us to do a variety of things. One is it helped support the Teacher and Staff Appreciation Day. Mm-hmm. It's going to help us hire a full-time staff person to work with the Community Engagement Council to ensure that their time and their other investments produce a great return. And then it will enable us to hire other resources as we go through this 2 to 3 year transition process.
Okay. I did mention the field house, so we'll divert over to that for a moment. Of course, an iconic structure in the hearts and minds of those here in the community. What's the latest on that?
My understanding is that the repairs to the roof, the damage that was done when the tornado blew through Muncie last November, that those repairs will be completed next month in April. The fieldhouse will not be completely restored, but we'll be able to play basketball in the Muncie fieldhouse beginning sometime in April or May.
And we hope you heard that here first. So there you go. I want to get over to a question right now Again, this perhaps would be more in the purview of the school board itself. 1 year ago, that is, back in August, the newly appointed, Ball State-appointed board decided to stop collective bargaining, or at least not do it, for teachers during the 18-19 school year, leaving a lot of questions in the minds of teachers about their own pay and where did it go? Where did the collective bargaining go, many were wondering. What would be your answer to that?
Well, the legislation that was approved by the General Assembly provided an opportunity for the school board to either opt in to collective bargaining, but it did not require collective bargaining. And the unanimous view of the school board was they wanted to take this opportunity to work directly with the teachers, not necessarily through the teacher representatives. And they've done various ways in which they're trying to build support and credibility with the teachers. As you may recall, I don't think the teachers and the staff in the Muncie Community Schools had received an increase in compensation for maybe as many as 10 years. This year, prior to the holidays, there was a one-time stipend that the school board authorized. They're working directly with the teachers in terms of, and will continue to work with the teachers and the staff in the academic innovation plan. They don't necessarily want to deal exclusively with their representatives. They want to engage all of the teachers in that process. So I believe that they saw this as an opportunity to try a different approach of working and engaging with the teachers and not necessarily do it with respect through collective bargaining.
From your chair, do you foresee collective bargaining returning at some point?
It's not a conversation that I've had with the school board or the school board leadership in a long time. They informed me of their decision back in September, but that's not a topic we've discussed recently.
Let's go back to buildings, if I may, for a moment. Northside Middle School, for instance, the university owns the building and the land and the parking lot, as many football fans know.
Correct.
Has a good place to land. The school system is leasing that for another year, which would be for the 19-20 school year. What do we know about that? Do we see, again, there was talk about Southside Middle School, the former Southside High School, being the only middle school in the district. It appeared to change, the move to Southside, and now we still have the two middle schools and will for another year. What happened there, and is there still going to be a migration to one middle school?
I don't know whether the school board will migrate only to one middle school. I think those facilities decisions, again, will flow from the long-term academic innovation plan. Again, I would anticipate that there will be a need to reduce the total facilities available based upon enrollment. But again, that will be determined by the Muncie Community Schools. We don't yet at the university have any specific plans for Northside if and when that building returns to be occupied or will be occupied by us. We will be prepared for that decision when it arises. My guess is that Northside not only will be occupied next school year, in the 19-20 school year, but I think it's also reasonable to anticipate that it will be occupied by the Muncie Community Schools in the 2021 school year. Mm-hmm. The next thing up for us, though, is a decision and perhaps an announcement within the next few weeks about what we're going to do with Mitchell Elementary School, which has remained vacant since we acquired it. And so I would anticipate that we'll have a decision that I think will be popular in the community when we make that decision and announcement in the next few weeks.
What are some of the options? And again, you can just tell me. I won't tell anybody else.
Yes. I'm going to hold off. I don't want to get ahead of the announcement process. But again, I think it will be well received in all across the community and particularly in the neighborhoods surrounding Mitchell Elementary School.
Well, there are other radio stations in town, so we hope you will tell us first, and we'll go from there.
Okay, I'll check with my folks.
Yes, well, if your folks are listening right now, come here first, please. Now, Indiana's funding model for public schools has been criticized for setting up school districts like Muncie's for some financial trouble. Property tax caps, charter schools are being blamed by critics, school vouchers are being blamed by the critics, and that, some say, has led to some of Muncie's frustrations as well as Gary's and other systems. Where do you see right now the state funding formula go? Do you see any changes in that? Of course, we've got a story on this morning about teacher pay and about the House legislation being bandied about the school systems must spend 85% on teacher pay. What are you hearing down the railroad tracks right now?
Well, I'm not hearing any discussion in the General Assembly about significant changes to the school funding formula and the policy behind that. My own view is that the policy on one level makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Which is to allow parents and families to take their child where they believe the best education that they can get for their children. That makes some sense. But I think the formula doesn't fully understand or appreciate that some of the declines in enrollment has nothing to do with the academic quality of the school. For example, the substantial decline in enrollment in the Muncie Community Schools has been primarily driven by the decline in population, which is primarily driven by the changes in the economy here. Some of those changes are affecting school districts, large and small, all across the state of Indiana, as the population in rural areas continues to decline, and so enrollment in those schools continues to decline, and then therefore funding declines. That's not a reflection of the quality of the education that's being provided in those small rural districts. It's just a reflection of the demographic changes. So I think at some point, and I hope in the relatively near future, the General Assembly will take a look at that issue and continue to adjust the formula to reflect changes that in demographics as well as academic quality.
We've got about 45 seconds left right here. I know some of my friends who are Teachers College graduates, upon the first announcement that Ball State is sponsoring charter schools, some say that, and we have teachers in private schools of all descriptions. We have teachers, of course, across the country and around the globe in public schools. We have teachers in charter schools and the like. Well, let's go on for a little bit longer. All right.
Okay.
And 45 seconds, because this is a little bit more of a detailed question. Some were taken aback when the university first started, what would be the right term, sponsoring a charter school?
We are an authorizer.
Authorizer. Okay. Could you enlighten us as the difference between an authorizer of a charter school and a sponsor and an operator?
Yeah. So we don't sponsor and operate charter schools. We serve as an authorizer. And when this opportunity arose many years ago, when my predecessors were in the position I'm now in, I think the view was if charter schools were going to come to Indiana, if that academic innovation or that academic alternative was to be available to children in the state of Indiana, why not have an authorizer that has the quality and experience that exists in our teachers' college? So it wasn't an ideological decision to say charter schools are the answer for academic innovation. It was rather exercising our expertise responsibly. And let me share with you some statistics because not everyone understands the role that we play. Over the period of time that we've served as an authorizer, in terms of the applications that we've received, we have actually denied approximately 70 to 75% of those applications. And then of the schools that we've actually authorized, about 50% of the schools that we've authorized are no longer in operation, either because we did not renew their charter or the operator understood that based upon the criteria, we weren't going to authorize it or reauthorize it in the future. So I think those statistics demonstrate that our staff here at the university is exercising that responsibility in a very good way.
So they're trying to, if there is to be a charter school, Ball State is trying to come up with the proper model for a charter school that could be folded into a given public school system or an independent system?
No. So the application is submitted to us, mm-hmm. and our staff reviews the application to determine whether they meet the standards that are established by state law and state public education policy. So we're, again, not in the business of advising those charter school operators, but simply applying the law to the application that's presented to us, or if it's a renewal, to both the application and the evidence that are presented in that renewal application.
What, in your opinion, have you seen here over the last several years? And it's not just Indiana. We have state lawmakers, again, coming up with charter schools. School vouchers. Indiana is the leading state in the nation, for good or ill, with school vouchers where parents can move their children, of course, to whatever school they wish, perhaps to a parochial school, to a private school of whatever description, and that money follows the student out of a public school system. what would be your view on that? And is there any effort to try to keep the students in the Muncie school system saying, look, this is what we are doing now. If you fear that you're not going to get as good of an education in MCS, think again. What's happening on that front?
Well, certainly we believe that for years the quality of the education in the Muncie Community Schools has been good, and our responsibility in working with the new school board and the administration is to ensure that that quality is stable and, in fact, improves. I think continuing to explore innovation in public education and in K-12 education is important, but I'm hopeful that in certain corners, the tone of these discussions can change. In some quarters, the tone has been, in my view, unduly critical of our teachers. And I think irrespective of the financial condition of schools all across the state and all across the country, we need to demonstrate our respect for the men and women who work in our schools as staff and teachers. And so as part of our Muncie Community Schools initiative, we are ensuring that we appointed a school board that respects, day in and day out, respects the teachers and the staff who support our children. And I'm hopeful that as we continue the debates about policies and programs and innovations, we never lose sight of the quality, competence, and dedication of the teachers and staff who work in our schools every day.
For a teacher in the school system, for any school system, but we're talking about Muncie right here, what would that look like for the teacher to be elevated? Because this is a societal issue right here. It's not just with MCS. This is a national issue. It seems like previous students, graduates who are now parents with children in school systems, I've thought some of them might be trying to get revenge for that C on their English theme or something like that with some of the bilge that's come out aimed toward teachers and education in general. What would a teacher in the Muncie system be able to see that would be evidence of that raising of respect?
So some tangible things. First of all, as part of this new initiative, Ball State provided professional development liaisons for every school. So we're putting our expert faculty into the schools to provide day in and day out support, guidance and support for the teachers in the Muncie Community Schools. You may recall also as part of this new partnership, we're providing substantial tuition discounts, in essence scholarships for teachers and staff to get continuing education at Ball State. We're also treating those employees of the Muncie Community Schools as if they were employees of the university when it comes to using our recreation facilities, when it comes to ticket prices to attend arts and athletics events on our campus. We think that's another sign of our support and respect for the work that we're doing. And I also hope that as the academic innovation plan is developed and as the finances of the Muncie schools continues to improve, there will be more opportunities for the school board and the new administration to provide direct financial support in the form of compensation and benefits for our teachers and staff in the Muncie Community Schools. I think that's a ways away because mm-hmm. the stabilization process has some time to go, but I think that's where all of us want to be when we're looking 3, 5, 10 years down the road.
Two questions left. Otherwise, we're going to have to renegotiate with NPR here. But one would be, I think a teacher would celebrate what you just said right there. But again, for public schools, primary and secondary schools, they might be, again, fighting the issue of perception with parents. That's not just Muncie. It's nationwide. Again, the lack of respect there. Is there anything that the university and MCS will be doing to help enhance that channel of communication so misunderstandings don't come up and fingers of blame be pointed?
So that's one of the responsibilities of the new Community Engagement Council. When okay. I mentioned that they're serving mm-hmm. as advocates, I didn't mean advocates down with our elected officials in the General Assembly.
Okay.
Serving as community advocates, building on the council itself, bringing more families and parents onto the Community Engagement Council, but also sponsoring events, educational and information and community building events with parents and families.
All right. And the last question would be, what's a quick story here in about 30 seconds you can tell us about something that's would really be a celebration about what you have seen happen so far with the school system?
Well, I think let's just contrast what happened on the first day of school in August of 2018 versus the first day of school in 2017. As you remember, in the fall of in August of 2017, I think it was the first 2 or 3 days of classes had to be canceled because we couldn't get the buses from to the bus stops and to the schools. In contrast, the first day of school not only opened smoothly, but we flooded the schools with volunteers. There was just a different level of energy and optimism, and I believe that optimism will continue into the future.